World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hang on here, a little last second show prep. Betty just sent me something. Thanks, Betty. Now I got to figure out how to get it to Spencer. Let's do this. Let's go right here and let's go here. Bear with me. Okay, Spencer, sending it to you right now. Good morning. I got my Betty shirt on because it's cold in my house. Michelle and I both like to sleep when it's cold. We cranked her down pretty low this morning. Got up this morning and I was a little bit chilly, which means if it's chilly in my multi-million-dollar home, it's even chillier in my multi-million-dollar studio. So I had to dress up a little bit. Betty got me this shirt that says, "Because I'm Coach, that's why." We would do a little bit better with some authoritarian, how do I say it? With the spirit of authoritarianism, if it was done in the right way. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there would be nothing wrong with exerting his authority, his authoritarian, what would be the word, right of authority. Wouldn't be wrong, anything wrong with doing that, would it? My body, my choice, all that stuff kind of goes out the window, doesn't it? Spencer, I just sent you. Pull that picture up. This is amazing. I was having a conversation with Betty before we got going here this morning. I'm banned for 30 days on Facebook. And I couldn't for the life. I told my wife I couldn't for the life of me figure out what? 30 days I'm banned. What did I do? What, honey, what did I? I'm telling you, I couldn't remember what I did. Because I'm smart enough to know that if you do the wrong thing, they're gonna ban you. And I got a ban. I said, what is it? What could it be? They don't tell you, of course. Well, then I find out it's a ban against nudity. See the screen picture on the screen? Betty Perkins sent me this. And it's a picture of, you can see guys got their heads in somebody else's underwear. You see that? See that, folks? You know what it means. They got their heads up their butt, right? They banned me for nudity. Nudity! And, you know, Vinny said something before we went on the air. He said they can't take a joke. They can't laugh at themselves. And the thing that went along with it says Democrats brainstorming. That's what they're doing. Brainstorming. I put that on Facebook. 30 days in jail for nudity. Folks, do you even see a crack of a butt? Does anybody see any nudity at all there? It's unbelievable the times in which we live. But you're right, Vinny. They don't have the ability to laugh at themselves. They don't have the ability at all. You know, I was coming down the steps today. Every day when we're going to jump on that in a second. I get panicking when I head in one direction in the last minute. Not panicking. That's not the right way. I got to get my mind right back. My mind right again back here. This is what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. There. Let's go right here. Hey, Spencer, first of all, I want you to pull up. Get ready for me. Where is it? Vineyard of the Lord. Pull that up there, Vince. Spencer, second. Get that one ready. I was coming down the steps today. It often happens from my multi-million-dollar house to my multi-million-dollar studio. That does wooden steps. Hey, Steve Deck, are you out there? My wife asked about me. You heard from Steve Deck? She loves you too, Steve. She said, you heard from Steve Deck, lady? Is he doing okay? I said, no, I haven't. So, Steve, we're thinking about you out here. Holy Spirit came, I think it was the Holy Spirit. Hear that, I'm hearing voices. Came down the steps today. Holy Spirit said to me, what do Christians do? It kind of stopped me in my tracks. What do Christians do? Boy, that'd be a good subject, wouldn't it? That'd be a good place to jump off today. Bible says that you shall know them by their fruit. In other words, their fruit is what? What they produce, I would assume, right? You shall know them by their fruit. What do Christians do? How do you recognize a Christian? I'm one. The old saying, if they accused you of being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? What do Christians do? Because, you see, we've been convinced in our churches that we know this, right? It's not by works, brothers and sisters. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, not by works, brothers and sisters. And so, therefore, we have a Christianity that requires really, literally, no evidence. You just say you are and you are. We take it for granted. What do Christians do? Where is that, Lord? Oh, I'm going to find. Thank you. God, I love the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I love the Holy Spirit. Let me dig here a second. What do Christians do? That's kind of our jumping off point here. I don't know if I'm going to have time. How about this? How have I read this to you this morning? This is in my Bible. This is the kind of things that kind of songs we used to sing in church. It's called Keep on the Firing Line. You guys know that song? What? You guys know that song? If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die a fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, he will find no place. Keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and right, just keep on the firing line. God will only use the soldier he can trust. I'm sorry, I don't have the rhythm in my ear. God will only use the soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown that bears a cross, you must keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Create great, you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. How we'll praise the Savior for all we had. When we see the souls that we helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome, we will all march in. Keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, never even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. What do Christians do? What do Christians do? Well, I'm paraphrasing. I was looking for it. Daggone you, Holy Spirit, if you'd give me a little bit of warning, I'd have had this thing ready for us. I'd have had it ready. Huh? That's what Christians do now. Pull that up, Spencer. See if you can find that real quick. That's what Christians do now. Don Wildman. See, search that real quick. Don Wildman. That's what Christians do now. What do Christians do? Is Christianity a spectator sport or is it an active sport? That's what Christian, is that it? I think that's it. He's reading it there. Go back, Spencer. I think you saw it. Go back, bud. Sorry, folks. There we go. AFANet, AFA.net, right down there. Yeah, click on that. Joe, you ready to go? Silver, you ready to go? You in here this morning, bud?
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Here we go. Let's see if this isn't it. That's what Christians do now. Okay, Joe. Huh? What do Christians do? Is Christianity a spectator sport, friends? How many of the people do you go to church with? Now, come on now. Or used to go to church with who absolutely do nothing but live a Christian life, whatever that means. They live a Christian life. Huh? Know any of those, Betty? Good Christians that just lead a Christian life and let the world around them go to hell. When in fact, Jesus told us, sorry, I'm on this, stay with me. Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those. Lead us not temptation. Thy kingdom come. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, hey, do me a favor. Bring my kingdom on earth. Bring my kingdom on earth. Would you do that for me? That's all I want you to do. I just want you to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I commanded you. That's all I want you to do. My kingdom will come if you just do that. Just go and teach. Go and teach. This comes from Don Wildman, 1999. I keep this in my Bible. That's why I was trying to dig it down here and find it. If I had time, I would find it. But go ahead, Joe. This is Don Wildman, the founder of the American Family Association. In 1999, he wrote this commentary. And see if it's appropriate today. Go ahead, Joe.
That's what Christians do now. Christian apathy in the face of cultural collapse.
Cultural collapse. Let's just stop there a minute. What would that look like? Well, that would look like Psalm 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Would we agree that the foundations are being destroyed in America? The Christian foundations being destroyed? What would you do if your home, if the main beam in your house suddenly rotted and cracked? If that main beam was broken, what would you do? You really would have only two choices. You could live there until it crumbled and collapse. Hopefully, you would be pulled out of the collapse right at the last second, so you wouldn't have to be part of it. Or you would do something to rebuild the foundation. Dale's out there. Dale's a builder. Any other builders out there? Can you, in fact, restore a foundation? Can you restore a building whose foundation has crumbled? Can you do it? Is it possible to do it? I suppose it's possible to do it, but wouldn't you have to jack it up? Dale, how do you do that? Anybody tell me how you can do that? Do you jack it up and put new supports under it? Or once the foundation is destroyed, is it destroyed? Is that it? Is there anything you can do?
That, Coach.
Go ahead.
You have to remove and restructure the foundational area that is either cracked or broken, which is very biblical.
But it could be done, right, Dale? It could be done.
All things are possible.
Right? So if my main beam in my house was busted, it would take me some work, but I could rebuild it. I could do it. I could fix it.
It would create a very uncomfortable, concerning situation in your house if you're talking about your main beam.
Okay. The Bible says that the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Is the Bible saying in that phrase, or anything you can do, if the foundations be destroyed, you're screwed? Is that what he's saying?
No, it means to rebuild them. That's what it means.
Yeah. I said, well, foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous? Hey, Joe Silver. It doesn't say, what can the government do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the government do? It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous, you understand, folks? We read the Bible, and we think the Bible applies to everybody, and it doesn't. It doesn't apply to everybody. We are not all, man, that anointing is thick. We are not all children of God. Sorry, they have lied to you in your churches. We are not all children of God. Now, God created us all. He created us all. But we're not all his children. We're not all his children. And if the foundation is destroyed, what can the devil's kids do? Is that what it says? If the foundation is being destroyed, how can the government restore it? Is that what it says? No. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the Luciferians do? Well, the Luciferians can't do anything except tear it down, burn it down. That's all they can do. And so in this battle of good against evil, I hate to tell you this, reconstruction always falls into the lap of the righteous. It's the righteous job to reconstruct. It's the job of the righteous to rebuild the foundations. That's where we are today. But see, some of you, most of you, I would say 70% of Christianity doesn't do anything because they have believed the lie, my opinion, that we're not supposed to get involved. And we're going to be out of here soon anyway. And it's what the Bible teaches. Even though they wrote a song about keep on the firing line. What, are these people drunk who wrote that song? What do you mean keep on the firing line? What are you talking about? 1973, Joe's getting ready to read this. 1973, what can the... They have been murdering babies in America since 1973. And the church... Christianity has not raised one finger to stop it. Not one finger. Hey, Larry, you're always talking about the satanic social clubs and the World Council of Churches and all that. Hey, Larry, how many different denominations do you think there are in America? Do you have any idea? I know, but I'm just curious. Do you know?
I would guess around 7,000 or so, maybe.
7,000 different denominations. This just isn't churches, Larry.
Oh,
right?
Okay, basic denominations, maybe 40.
Let's say 40. And you're telling me that 70% of Americans who still claim to be Christians, although you know they're Christians by our love. See, oh boy, I hate that song. I hate that song. What if I made a song? They will know we are Christians by our hate, by the things that we hate, right? And so since 1973, it's a bunch of years, 48 years. Been murdering babies for 48 years, and the righteous can't do anything about it? Really? Well, it's all over me today. What do Christians do? If you just had to get $1 million for bringing up a list of things that Christians do, could you come up with a list? What would be on that list? Well, they live a holy life. Really? Really? That's all they're supposed to do? Because the Bible says, foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Evidently, the righteous are supposed to be doing something, right? What's the average Christian? What's the average person you go to church with doing? Doing with their Christianity. Doing. Okay, I'll shut up, Joe, temporarily. Go and read what Don Wildman wrote in 1973. Because what's the question of the day, folks? What do Christians do? Let me say it again, real slow, for those of you who live in West Virginia. What do Christians do? Do. Not how do Christians act. It's not the same. What do Christians do? Go ahead. Go ahead, Joe. I'll be quiet. No, I won't. That's a lie.
I know. In 1973, the Supreme Court said it was okay to kill unborn babies. Since then, we have killed more than the entire population of Canada. And it continues. A woman's choice? Half of those who have died in their mother's wombs have been women. They didn't have a choice. It is called abortion.
Mm.
Me? I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. First, it was in dingy, dirty theaters, then convenience stores, then grocery stores, then on television. Now it is in the homes of millions via the internet.
Mm.
It is called pornography. Me, I go to church. The minister preaches, I go home. That's what Christians do now. They called it no fault. Why should we blame anyone when something so tragic happens? Haven't they already suffered enough? Half of the marriages in America end this way. The children suffered. The family broken down. It is called divorce. Me? I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. At one time, it was perversion. We kept it secret. We secured help and hope for those who practiced it. Now it is praised. We have parades celebrating it, and elected officials give it their blessing. Now it is endowed with special privileges and protected by special laws. Even some Christian leaders and denominations praise it. It is called homosexuality. Me? I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. It used to be an embarrassment, a shame. Now a third of all births are to mothers who aren't married. Two-thirds of all African-American children are born into a home without a father. The state usually pays the tab. That is why we pay our taxes, so that government can take the place of parents. After all, government bureaucrats know how much better how to raise children than parents do. It is called illegitimacy.
Stop a minute, Joe. Think about that. Think about a child coming into the world. From the time he's into the world, he's illegitimate. He's not legitimate. Why is he not legitimate? Because he ain't got no daddy. Ooh, Lord, that'll preach. Go, Joe.
Me, I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. At one time, it was wrong. But then the state decided to legalize it, promote it, and tax it. It has ripped apart families and destroyed lives. But just look at all the money the state has raised. No longer do we have to teach our children to study and work hard. Now we have to teach them. Now we have to teach them they can get something for nothing. We spend millions encouraging people to join the fun and excitement. Just look at the big sums that people are winning. They will never have to work again. It is called gambling.
The lottery. In fact, our governor here in Ohio had a lottery for taking a jab. Got $1 million. $1 million if you took the jab and they drew your name out of a hat. Legalized sin. Go ahead, Joe.
Me, I go to church. The minister preaches, I go home. That's what Christians do now. Not long ago, Christians were the good guys. But now, any positive image of Christians in movie or on TV is gone. We are depicted as the bad guys, greedy, narrow-minded hypocrites. The teacher can't have a Bible on her desk, but can have Playboy. We don't have Christmas and Easter holidays, just winter and spring break. We can't pray in school, but we can use foul language. It's called being tolerant. Me, I go to church. The minister preaches, I go home. That's what Christians do now. Yes, all these things came to pass within 30 years. Where were the Christians? Why? They were all in church. All these things are for someone else to deal with. Times have changed. Involvement has been replaced with apathy. But don't blame me. I didn't do anything. I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now.
Boom, as Vinny would say.
Wow. Boom.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely the truth.
Hey, folks, that was 30 years ago. This is 1990. Well, how long? 1991. 20, that's 22 years ago he wrote this. 22 years ago. We've been murdering babies for 48 years. 48 years we've been murdering babies. So I come back to the opening question. What do Christians do? If you, beyond living a holy and righteous life, privately, I might add. What do Christians do? What does Christianity look like? Wait a minute. What was that again? Hey, Spencer, while Larry comes in here, look up the song, Keep on the Firing Line. I want you people to be able to, you people, I sound like Ross Perot. I want us to be able to read together again the words of that song. Go ahead, come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, that question, what do Christians do? Christians follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit and use the Bible as guidance to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit and stuff. Pretend Christians sitting in satanic social clubs are the ones that out there, quote, doing nothing and everything. And it is our fault that the world perceives that pretend social satanic social club as being the church, because we refer to it as the church. It's our fault we've let that happen.
Well, excuse me. It is our fault. And in fact, you can be a Christian and never have to do anything because you're saved not by works. You're saved through faith, right? Grace through faith. Thank God we are. But it's like I let a guy come on our football team. He becomes a member of our football team. Well, he can be on the team, but he'll never get in the game. He'll never score a touchdown. They didn't get out on the field. He'll never, ever score a touchdown. But see, we've taught in Christianity that you get to score a touchdown, you don't even have to play. We score in the end. I score in the end. How pathetic is that? Spencer, I'm looking for the lyrics. Maybe you can type in lyrics someplace and see if one of those songs has lyrics. Yeah, let's see if that would it. All right. Hey, Spencer, let's just go ahead and play that first one. It's 2 minutes and 59 seconds. Hey, folks, this is old-time Christianity. This is the faith of our fathers that we're talking about here. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. See, personal Christianity. Feel good Christianity. Bless me Christianity. Hide me Christianity. Protect me Christianity. Not kingdom advancing Christianity. Go ahead and play that, Spence. I don't like that one, Spencer. Go back to the other one. I want to hear somebody else singing this thing. Go to the previous one. Go to that second one there. That second one looks like it'll be good. Keep on the fire. Are there anyone in the house? Oh, yes. You got the fun, let me pray. Come on, somebody help me shout.
Service, you will find no place, so keep on the firing line. You got to fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even look behind. If you win for God and the right, keep on the firing line.
Wow. Just keep on. Oh, that's good enough, Spencer. Huh? My goodness, they would ban that song in American churches today. They'd ban that song. You wouldn't be allowed to sing that in church today. What has happened to us? What does a Christian do? What does a Christian do? Okay, Spence, go to, where is it, Coach? Vineyard of the Lord. I'm going to turn Silver loose again here. Going to turn him loose on Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to show you the consequences. We're in a war. We're in a war. Yeah, I know we're in a time of grace. Yeah, I know we're in the church age. Yeah, I know all that stuff. But at what point was Christianity designated to the dustbin of history? Roll over, let them have it, beg for the rapture, get us out. I think I can say the word hell, can I, on that one? Where in the hell did that come from? This passive roll over and give up and let them have us, Christianity. Where did that come from? Joe, read Isaiah chapter 5.
Isaiah 5. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes.
Folks, this is the picture of the church. This is the picture of the church. They built a church. They put walls around it. Going to keep the devil out of it. Go ahead, Joe.
And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard.
Wow, wow. Is the fruit matching the king? Does the fruit match the Lord? He said, you judge between me and what you see going on in churchianity. Go ahead.
What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes.
Wow.
And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard.
Hey, Joe, would it be safe to say that the vineyard's his church? Would that be safe? Am I stretching this, folks? In this verse, would that be the assumption I would make? God's people, but it was, listen, don't miss this. It was a group of people enclosed. It was enclosed. And so he was growing something inside this enclosed garden, right? All right? He said, okay, now watch what I'm going to do to the vineyard I built, that one that's given forth those wild grapes. Go ahead, Joe.
And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down.
My. Pick up your toes, they're going to get stepped on.
And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it.
Stop a minute. What's this a picture of? I believe it's a picture of his church. He pulled the hedge down. Holy Spirit's taken out of the church, in my opinion. And wild grapes are growing up there. It hadn't been pruned. It hadn't been dug. Nobody's taking care of it. It's all briars and thorns. And he said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to command the Holy Spirit not to rain upon that place anymore. That's what it means. I command the clouds, they rain no more. No more Holy Spirit falling on that place. You can get as many flags and dance around and sing your songs as much as you want to. He said, man, there's thorns and thickets in that thing. Because why? He said, Ichabod. Go ahead, Joe.
For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression.
Joseph, hey Joe, look, folks. He looked for judgment on the evil. People were looking for judgment on the evil, and there wasn't any judgment. Why wasn't there any judgment? Well, they'd removed the rain. Go ahead, Joe.
But behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth.
Wow.
In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate.
Are we seeing that? Go ahead.
Even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ff. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feasts. Regard not the work of the Lord.
Say that again, Joe.
But they regard not the work of the Lord.
Neither.
Consider the operation of his hands.
What do Christians do? What do Christians do? Because of it, Joe, what's happened to his people?
Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. and their honorable men are famished.
Oh, my goodness.
And their multitude dried up with thirst.
Wow. Thirst hungry for that Holy Spirit.
Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure.
Wow.
Glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it.
Descend into what, Joe?
Hell.
Hell. Who's this talking about? Those people used to go to church, a vineyard, a church.
And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment.
Wait a minute, Joe, wait a minute. No, no, Joe, they tell us not to judge. They tell us not to judge. But it said the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment. But by the way, whose job is it to bring judgment? That'd be the righteous, isn't it? Isn't it the righteous to bring judgment? Or do we want the wicked to bring judgment? And so the Lord of hosts is exalted in what? In righteous judgment, God's exalted. Go ahead, Joe.
But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God, that is holy, shall be sanctified in righteousness.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Isn't this unbelievable?
The lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat.
Mm.
Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity.
Wow.
And sin, as it were, with a cart rope.
Wow.
Let that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it.
You hear what he's saying here? Lord, come and smite them, Lord. Come and smite those unrighteous ones, Lord. Because when you do that, we're going to know it's you, baby. We're going to know it's you, Lord. And our only hope is if we rebuild these foundations. The foundations will be destroyed. What can the righteous do? He's telling us right here.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Wow.
Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight.
Some woes here, Joe. Hey, we got some woes we're dealing with here.
Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink.
Oh, my goodness.
Which justify the wicked for reward.
Stop that, Joe. Stop, stop. He's referring to politics, folks. He's referring to politics, and he's referring to phony pastors standing in the pulpits. Whoa. What do they do, Joe? Verse 23. What do they justify?
The wicked.
For what, Joe?
For reward.
Oh, they get something out of looking the other way, huh? They get something out of it. They justify the wicked. They get paid to justify the wicked. Can you say government money for promoting the jab? Go ahead, Joe.
Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him.
Wow. Take away the righteousness of the righteous. I think if they take away the righteousness of the righteous, they're not righteous anymore. It would seem to me. Go ahead, Joe.
Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness.
Mm. Hey, Joe, what's your root, Joe?
Where I come from.
That's right. And what grows off of you? Children, right?
My children.
So if the root is dead, we didn't even honor a day that we're living in for me yesterday. We didn't even honor it. I didn't even see it mentioned, right? Folks, that's the rotten root. Do you understand that? That's the roots that are rotting. So that our children have no understanding of the foundation, our foundations, our spiritual foundations, our historical foundations. No understanding of it all. They are rotting the root. Go ahead, Joe.
So their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel.
Despise the word. We despise the word.
Therefore, is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people?
Wait a minute, Joe. Wait a minute. Who's his anger kindled against?
His people.
Not the pagans?
No.
He's not mad at the pagans?
No.
No, he's mad at his own team, isn't he?
Love, love, love.
So when I go out and I'm playing a football game and our team gets their butt beat on a game that they should have won, I don't punish the other team. I make our guys work their butts off on Monday. Amen. And remind them of how they lost that game. It was our fault that we lost. They should never have won. I punish our guys. That's what the Lord's doing here.
Therefore, is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
Wow, come on back, boys. Come on back. Come on back. Mad as hell. Not going to take it anymore, but come on back, boys. Come on back.
And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth.
Can you imagine the Lord hissing? What would that sound like? What would that sound like if the Lord were to hiss?
And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly.
Buddy, when he's hissing, I'm coming. How about you guys? I think he's hissing. I think he's hissing. Go ahead.
None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken.
Don't miss this, folks. When the Lord hisses, and those of us hear him hiss, look how things change.
Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent, their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind.
Wow.
Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of their prey.
Wow.
And shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it.
Oh, my goodness.
And in that day, they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea.
Who are we roaring against, Joe? Who are we roaring at? Seems to me the righteous, as bold as lions, doing the roaring, and evil men flee. That's what I think the scripture teaches. In that day, they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And what's going to happen, Joe?
And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof.
I don't know how you guys read that, but I read in there that there's something we're supposed to be doing. We are his team. I'm going to come back. What do Christians do? Come on, Roger and Paul. What do Christians do? God, it's been 44 minutes. This is good. You need to hear this because your little 6-foot icicle standing in your pulpit ain't telling you this. He's telling you love, 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 tolerate, 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 love, 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 love. And it's all good, except that's not what the Lord says. That's not what he says. Go ahead, Raj.
Oh, and I apologize if this doesn't tie in completely, but I know you'll help me. The AFA thing that kind of started off the scripture, you know, in pagan Japan, if you hear me again, in pagan Japan, the people have just decided enough of Big Pharma. Where are they going? What have they demanded? What have they risen up and said to their government? And the government responded, we want ivermectin to be our source of treatment.
Wow, I didn't see that, really.
So the pagans in Japan, but the Christians in America put up.
The pagans in Japan are The pagans are ruling in America. The pagans are ruling here.
Yeah. What is the result in some of what you have read?
Roger, what's the question of the day? What do Christians do? What do Christians do? Good word. Paul, come on in. Paul, then Alan.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. Sorry I missed last weekend in Missouri, but
that's all right, buddy. That's all right.
I really, the scripture there and what you've been talking about, what's the one word that's been a cuss word for the last year? Starts with a P, privilege. Now, as a coach, if your players practice hard on Monday through Thursday, they got the privilege to play on Friday, right?
That's right, brother. That's right.
So privilege is the result of earning what you've done. And what people are doing, even in the church, they're taking away the privilege. I mean, you're not saved by your works, but your faith. Your works.
Paul, you're rewarded for your works. You're rewarded for your works, Paul.
Right. It's a result of your works are a result of your faith.
Right.
And what we've done is we've just said faith, 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 no works with that.
Right.
And so this is what's so dangerous. That word privilege is not a bad word. It's you've earned that right to do, like, enjoy the fruits of your labor, enjoy those things. And this is exactly what these people are doing now, is they're taking away the right of you to earn what it is that you have a right to, because
they've taken away the satisfaction of earning it. They want it to be given to them, right? And this whole white privilege thing, I've gone through this before. I told y'all I'm a Melungeon. You have, folks, all of you, most of you whiteys listening to me right now can understand what your fathers and grandfathers crawled out of. The only reason there would be white privilege is because our fathers and grandfathers crawled through hell to give us white privilege. Now we can say, well, the blacks, well, they didn't get a chance to do that. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? See, the blacks, African American, whatever we want to call, I don't even know what I'm allowed to call them anymore. They're right now going through that same struggle that Whitey went through. If you think Whitey got where he was without struggle, now was the black guy, was he handicapped? Yeah, but is Ben Carson a victim of white privilege? Ben Carson? LeBron James? What? You have the opportunity, as Paul just said, you have the privilege. You have earned it. The privilege comes to some. Oh, my goodness, Paul, that's a good word. Alan, come on
but
in.
But, Coach, even that, I wasn't even thinking of the racial. I mean, that's stupid unto itself. I mean, that's.
But it isn't,
even,
though, Paul, because that's the focus they're using, bud.
Yeah, I know. What they're doing is trying to do that to divide people. What I'm saying, though, is even black folks in early times were hard workers, dedicated, did a lot of inventions, did a lot of things. They've earned the right to privilege. But see, this whole thing is a communist. It's communism is basically what it is. But it's even crept into the church. And that's just something that came to me. And I just I really thought about that the last few days, basically. So this is kind of
right. The world is the world's assault of the church, aren't they, Paul? That's what's happened to us. That's what's happened
to
us.
Yes, sir.
Good one. Alan, come on in. Then Bernie.
Hey, Coach, can you turn real fast to Job 31, verse 24 through 27?
Job 31. Job 31.
Yes, sir. 24 through 27.
24 through 27. If I've made gold my hope, or said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, in other words, you trust in the money. If I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much, I earned it. And if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also was an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above.
Coach, that's a rich American church, and the pagans Roger's talking about, they're all right there, man. Everything you were talking about Monday, talking about today, it's all right in those verses right there. The great American rich church that has all this money. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but he's doing healing miracles. Today's church, no miracles, full of gold.
Oh, Lord. Bernie.
Then what if you, instead of the word privilege, you had the word blessing. Isn't it about the same thing? Aren't they really robbing us of the blessings that God's given us?
Is it? They're trying to steal them from us.
Vocabulary. What are they actually saying? I mean, people are like, they complain about minimum wage, all right? But then they rob people of their wages. I mean, how can you take these people seriously?
Well, how about this one? I just got to be careful what I say. I know someone who, a college educated a guy who had a very, very secure job, was a manager, everything, and just working a lot of hours, making good money, working a lot of hours, making good money. He said, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. And he went and is working at a warehouse, like an Amazon warehouse.
Okay.
He's making as much money. He's making,
right.
So what are you saying? I'm saying, folks, as Bernie just said, privilege. It's not privilege. It's, what was the word you used, Bernie?
Blessing.
Blessing. You mean people can't go, you can get jobs for $20 an hour and time and a half. Anywhere you look, they're everywhere out there. That's what Alan just said there. Good one, Bernie. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. I was reading the headlines and I was actually thinking about the show you did yesterday, because it all kind of has a thread with today's show as well. What are Christians doing? There's this little town in Northern California that declared themselves a constitutional republic, and the left got wind of it and they totally released this news article. This is total propaganda. The headline is, Pentagon blames Biden and Newsom for U.S. inaction and breakaway republic crisis. And it goes on, and it's like declaring war on this little town. And if you read this article, this little councilman who did this, it's like little 80-year-old men in plaid shirts. I mean, it's so crazy.
Nothing wrong with plaid shirts, right?
Great idea, though, to you guys were talking about the council members yesterday and getting involved in. This little town in Northern California said, hey, it's nothing. It's a way to push back anyway. It's a way to make some waves, apparently.
Amen. Amen. Gary just said, we sing Come As You Are, sing Just As I Am, and leave just as I came. Boy, isn't that there? Hang on. Joe, come on in. I gotta switch gears real quick. Come on in, Joe.
Well, that little town is Oroville, California.
Oroville.
My dad had a house in that little town that he inherited from one of his best friends. And it shows what the politics is local, and that everybody in the States can take small towns who are grassroots populations and follow Oroville. It's where the largest earth-filled dam in the world used to be was in the Oroville Dam.
Mm.
I've heard of the
Oroville Dam, because that's in danger of being breached, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it almost broke. The sheriff in Butte County woke up the whole state and evacuated the county where I grew up, and also Butte County, Sutter County. And if it had broken, it would have had Sacramento about 15 foot high of water, and millions would have
all died. All that farmland down through that valley would have been
and
destroyed.
All the rice production in the rice prices in the world would have been crazy, because it's one of the largest rice exporting areas in the world.
Amen. We deserve it, that's for sure. Spencer, pull up the first thing I sent you this morning. First thing. Golly, it's been a fast hour. Did you guys see this? Court-ordered Pfizer documents they tried to have sealed for 55 years. The court ordered them to release their documents that they tried to have sealed for 55 years. This is Pfizer. And the documents they tried to have sealed for 55 years show, in the first 3 months, in the first 90 days after the vaccine, 1,223 deaths, 158,000 adverse events. Those are the ones that they know about. Folks, the vaccines in the first 3 months, this is just Pfizer, killed 1,200 people. Can we even begin to imagine how many they've killed? how many of the vaccine have killed and will continue to kill. Listen to me. I said I got up this morning. I get up every morning, and I am so grateful for my wife. I get up every morning. And I thanked her again this morning, just hugged on her and thanked her again and said, honey, I just want to hug you because the day's going to come when I'm not going to be able to do this. Either you're not going to be here or I'm not going to be here. At some point, I'm not going to be able to do this. And I want you to know just how much I appreciate being able to hug you. And then immediately I thought of Russ Dizdar. Russ thought he'd be here hugging on Shelly still, didn't he? Bible says tomorrow's promised to no man. If we have really, really ticked off the Lord, like we just read there in Isaiah 5, if we've really ticked him off, do we have a right to even pray that he doesn't bring judgment upon us? And how shocking would it be if you were to wake up and find out tomorrow that there's this incurable virus that has suddenly appeared and mass death is going to fall? You think we're immune from that, friends? You think we're immune from that? Do you think that you're going to see, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, right? Folks, it's not a guarantee to live forever. It's not a guarantee of live forever here on earth. That's not the guarantee. It's not the guarantee that you won't have trouble. It's not the guarantee that you won't get sick. Where's Russ Dizdar? That's not the guarantee. Our guarantee is eternal life. Eternal life is our guarantee, not long life here. Our long life here is often predicated by conditions. If you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this. If you do this, you don't get this. If you do this, this happens to you. Much of our lives are conditional. And I'm wondering, as we sit here today on the 8th day of December, is that what it is? Yeah, December 8th, 2021. I wonder how many of us in this huddle right now today will not be here a year from today. And how many people in your sphere that you love will not be here a year from today. And can any of us say, Lord, we didn't deserve it? Because my reward is not an extended life here on earth. My reward is an extended life beyond this world. That's my promise. That's my reward. And I would just ask all of you, pray that all of you would, wow.
Boom.
Just consider where we are. And that tomorrow is promised to no man, that life is but a vapor. It's here, then it's and it's gone. And to make the most of your opportunities. What a sad state of affairs for me to retire, get in a big, what do they call those? Big Winnebago and drive down to Florida and fish the rest of my life and then die in the middle of the night from a heart attack. All of this stuff left undone. What do Christians do? Janine? Larry?
Janine? You know, we need to examine ourselves. And like you said, what do we do? Are our prayers even hitting the ceiling? That's a big question. We think we're so great. But if anybody wants to have some answers, Wisconsin Christian News program yesterday was fabulous. That doctor on there, everyone needs to listen to it and everyone needs to pass it through. You talk about judgment. Well, Fauci and Bill Gates, you know, they work hand in hand. What is a gate in scripture? It means judgment.
Yeah. And wouldn't he be the judgment? Huh? Dr. Brian Arts is one. Anyway, we'll figure out Rob Pugh, Wisconsin Christian News. Larry, quickly.
Yeah, this is not aimed at anybody in particular because I can't remember who said what, but we have got to stop repeating cliches not true.
That's and right.
One
Larry,
of the
we do.
Cliches that's not true is salvation is by faith alone. It never says faith alone in the Bible, and the salvation is by grace, which is true, but grace is not defined what the Bible dictionary is to define it as. Read the Bible. find out what grace means. It doesn't mean unmerited favor. Don't take my word for it. Read the Bible. Balance grace and faith every time they appear in the Bible and see what the truth of those two words is.
Amen, folks. And I want to leave you with this thought. Long career as a football coach. There's a big, big difference between being on the team and being on the field. Big difference in those two things. And the ones that they remember are the ones that are on the field. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.